May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Good morning. The Christian Century is a magazine that got its start in the late 1800s, a periodical that approaches moral, cultural, and theological issues by thinking critically and living faithfully. That's their motto. And since 1939, they have had a recurring series entitled How My Mind Has Changed. In it, Christian thinkers of all stripes tackle the question of what it takes to change one's mind. After a long interval without the column, they've resumed it in the past year, this year of tumult, division, and strife, a time in public life where even the idea of changing your mind often feels like an impossible pipe dream. In a column last month, the professor and writer Brittany Cooper discusses one such conversion, her departure from the Christian faith of her youth to a more generous version of faith. Her upbringing was one where the threat of fire and brimstone was God's response to every sin, and many sins there were, for she heard about them from the pulpit each Sunday. Dogma, she writes, especially the Christian brand, orders the world in a clear ledger of rules and rewards. Instead, I have learned the art of embracing uncertainty, messiness, and divine surprises in ways that have made my relationship to God more thrilling and confounding and scary, but less anxiety-producing and resentment-filled. I have learned the art of embracing uncertainty, messiness, and divine surprises. I love that line. Today, however, we meet John the Baptist on a decidedly different path. He is preaching a baptism of repentance on the edge of the wilderness. And it begs the question for me, how are we supposed to think about the message of repentance in light of the many ways it is abused and misused? What does John the Baptist have to offer us in this season of Advent, a season of preparation, as we wait for the moment when God comes face to face with our messiness? In the middle of a manger on a remote Palestinian village in the Fertile Crescent 2,000 years ago. Now, first, let's get some of the context straight. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, the Gospel reads, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Oof, talk about a mouthful. Try saying that 10 times fast. This long introduction points to a simple truth. Prophets don't show up out of thin air to proclaim timeless truths. They show up in the middle of history, right in the thick of conflict, amid powers and principalities, both religious and secular, with a bold word about what we must do right now. And John, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth, does not have any of the accolades or status that the aforementioned powers hold. Sure, he is the son of a priest, but he chooses a strange mission field for his assignment, dons camel's hair instead of the traditional priestly garb. He has come to the wilderness to remind people of the promise made to Father Abraham, a vision of the world made right and the crooked path straight. A world where God brings the powerful down from their throne and lifts up the lowly, a kingdom where the hungry eat their fill and the rich are sent away empty. This is a radical vision of repentance, but one that requires not just an inward enumeration of carnal sins, but the reassessment of power across the board. And in this assessment, We are all implicated, called to account for the ways in which we might be responsible for others' pain and hurt, and yet at the very same time reminded of our dignity and value as children of God in the face of a world that would have you think otherwise. This is a radical vision of repentance. To pursue this kind of repentance is, in a way, to pursue a way of life in which we can change our minds. The Apostle Paul talks about this in his letter to the Romans. Be not conformed to this world, he says in the Old King James, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This repentance, this renewal, is not a one-time event, a decision made in fear in order to avoid the threat of hellfire, but a daily discipline, a commitment to constant transformation. And in a world where we are given too many easy opportunities to stay entrenched in our own worldview, this fragile path of daily repentance is sorely needed. Amen. What would it look like for us to believe in our ability to change our minds? What would it look like for us to be the kind of people who repent and return, who learn and who grow? This is an ongoing practice, a lifetime habit, a conversion of mind and heart that is never quite over. Now, let me return briefly to Brittany Cooper for just a moment and to how her mind has changed. Years after her adult conversion to a messier, surprising faith, she found herself, for the very first time, behind the preacher's pulpit. And she chose as her text, Exodus chapter 32, the moment the Israelites bowed down to the golden calf as Moses receives the law on Mount Sinai. If you don't remember the scene from Sunday school, God almost loses it at the end of the story. God tells Moses that God wants to wipe the slate clean, destroy the people, unruly, stubborn, and unfaithful as they are, and start over with Moses' descendants. And in that moment, we get a taste of just how strange Scripture is. God changes God's mind. God changes God's mind. God chooses mercy over wrath, faithfulness over retribution. Cooper writes about the experience of preaching at the end of her column. I used to shrink, she says, when I heard preachers who loved to preach about repentance. Now I think I am becoming a preacher who loves it. Being willing to change one's mind is a space for hope, a space of hope for those of us who suffer. When at once we think we have it all figured out, the God who has changed invites us to think. And then God invites us to think again. Friends, let us be a people capable of changing our mind. Let us be a people willing to be transformed and renewed again and again and again. Amen. Yeah.